The first scripture I'd like to share with you today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14. May we together hear God's word. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verses 1 through 11. Let us again hear together the word of the Lord. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's suppose for a moment that there is a teenage girl who's pregnant and traveling with her boyfriend. And they're walking through the streets of Charleston. That isn't too hard to imagine. Generally speaking, I would guess they would receive little, if any, attention. And if they couldn't find a cheap hotel for the night, I wonder where would they find shelter? Where would they sleep if all the rooms were taken or they just didn't have enough money to pay? They might even stay a night or two under our pavilion here. And if they had no family in the Charleston area, probably no one would take them in or go out of their way to help them. Most of us wouldn't even notice their dilemma. And if the young woman went into labor and they called 911 and the hospital took them in, no one would visit them. I'm sure that no one would think this couple and their baby to be even noteworthy. Now, someone could say, well, Mary and Joseph and Jesus were different, and the Son of God doesn't come through every homeless mother and father who aren't even married yet. But have we ever heard of God's judgment in Jesus' own words found in Matthew 25:45? "Then he will answer them at his judgment seat, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" So I believe that we can easily dismiss these events in our city, right down our street, even on our church campus. And if that's true, would we really have taken any notice of the manger scene if we had been there 2,000 years ago? Who can see the nativity scene today in the midst of this culture and our time? Who has seen the nativity scene, today's message? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts now. Open our minds. And may we see spiritually, not just the physical things around us, but the lessons that you teach us and the people who need your good news promise and a help from your church. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, Christmas scenes can be both easy and difficult at the same time to see. The colored lights are easy to see. The decorations in the trees are easy to see. Gifts with bows and bright wrapping paper entice the imagination of the receiver. And the heavy holiday traffic is also just as obvious. My wife and I have been stuck in lines of cars for hours just to travel back and forth to Charleston from Atlanta. Lines and short tempers are easy to see. Last minute sales are easy to see. Forgotten gifts are noticed. All are easy to notice at this time of year. We usually have no trouble at all seeing the ads at Christmas. But I wonder, is it as easy to see the people who need to hear the gospel? Do I see the scenes of the hungry and the poor and the people who are homeless? The other day I noticed two homeless people, one outside of a grocery store, and he only wanted a bowl of cereal and milk. And later I noticed one outside of a coffee shop. He didn't ask for anything, and he had a hungry dog with him. So I responded to both of them and gave them what they might want or need. Do I at least hear some of the requests of God's people? Can I see at least some of the people who are sick and dying? Can I encourage some of the people who are struggling in their faith? Can I pray for their needs? Can I see the acts of grace and forgiveness happening all around me? Have I seen the Christ child living through them? Can I see Christ or hear Christ in the voice of a little child? Sometimes when I give the children's message on Sundays, it is the children who teach me as much as I teach them. Sometimes I can hear Christ speaking through them. One Sunday years ago, I asked a group of children who came forward for the children's sermon what they wanted for Christmas. They all spoke up and they told me about many things, usually toys. But then one little girl waited her turn patiently and finally looked up at me and said out loud so that everyone could hear, "I want Mommy and Daddy to be together again." Then the whole sanctuary went silent, and I told her that we would all pray about the Christmas gift that she wanted. And as we all held hands, we did just that. But the point is, her Christmas wish was so very much different than any of ours. And we knew in that worship service that God had planted the scene, the vision of her mother and father being together again in her longing heart. I wonder, therefore, would I have known or seen anything about Mary and Joseph and Jesus if I had been in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? Would I have heard the angels singing or simply the sounds of the marketplace? Would I have seen a star in the sky or simply two poor, very frightened young parents? Would I have trembled at the divine presence of God incarnate in a baby, or merely been chilled by the cold desert winds that night? Would I have understood the message of Emmanuel, God with us? And would the divine implication of that evening have entered my heart and been my joy and wish? Or would it have completely passed me by, and I assume that the parents were immoral? When I read the gospel account of Luke, it sounds to me like everyone was too busy to notice Joseph or Mary or Jesus. It was a busy time. After all, taxes are important, right? A census was being taken of all the inhabited earth, not just in this location. At the very time of Jesus' birth, they were very worried about money, and they didn't want any individual or family to be overlooked in their tax liabilities to Rome. We read that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And while God certainly used this decision to fulfill the prophecy in the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. It also meant a hardship on Joseph and Mary, because their lineage was from Bethlehem, of the house of David. Yet it also meant that people had their minds focused on money and taxes, not on God. I wonder who was really paying any attention at all to anything else but that. It's really interesting to me and sad to know that God never brought a single person from Bethlehem to the site of that manger. God didn't tell one person in Bethlehem to go see the Christ child. Was that because they would not have gone anyway? Today there is a lot of talk about taxes and money and interest rates and mortgages and inflation. There's a lot of focus upon gifts and cards and parties and food. I think it'd be a challenge today to ask anyone to think about anything else but those things for more than a few minutes or even up to an hour. Is God in the habit of telling his people who are too busy to hear or to see all about his son and to have them see the nativity scene? I don't think so. Not very often. Sometimes. But not very often. However, God did know of a group of people who would listen to his words and attend to Jesus and to see the nativity scene. We read in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So, Jesus came for everyone, but God didn't call everyone from Bethlehem, except some dirty, smelly shepherds out in the surrounding countryside. And yet they listened, and they were reverent, and they believed. They went with haste, it says, to see Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Would we have dropped everything, all that we were doing and so busy with, and done the same? Would you drop everything related to your livelihood, in fact, and go to a cattle stall or cave and see this young couple's first baby? Had they come, I'm convinced, the people from Bethlehem that night would probably have heard or seen something quite different than those shepherds saw. Most of us, I think, would just see nothing but trouble ahead for this young couple. Why? Because that's the way life is. God never presents himself in a revelation or in a manner in which we are forced to believe one way. We are always left with an option, a very negative option, should we choose it. For that is God's way to give us that freedom. We must have faith to enter into a relationship with him, not proof, not evidences. And thus one person may have confidently said, "It is a miracle." The shepherds were told that and they believed it. While another may have said, "It's just a coincidence." One person may say, "I heard God speak to me." Another say, "All I heard was the wind blowing." As Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You don't always see it coming. One sees the nativity scene of a poor young couple with an unremarkable baby, but another sees the birth of the Savior of the world for all people. There can be no doubt that very few people in Palestine saw or heard or understood what actually took place that night so long ago. The choirs of angels, even singing for the shepherds, were probably drowned out by others who were haggling and trading in the Bethlehem Bazaar. There was a bright star in the sky, but apparently the only ones to pay any attention to it were astronomers from the east who were still on their way to Judea. No one knew about them at this time. If anyone did see Mary and Joseph and that baby on that most fateful and beautiful night, they were too preoccupied with their own problems to offer any assistance, save a select few to whom a special revelation from God had come and who responded in faith. Therefore, you and I are especially blessed, I think, at Christmas, because we have been granted the special revelation contained in the Scriptures. We can read it. More than just natural revelation, we have God's Word. And so, in a sense, you and I have heard the choirs of angels because we've heard the Word of God. Now, if we have accepted that this baby that night was born as the Savior of the world, then what we see and what we hear, we realize, depends not just upon the events themselves, but rather upon the God who chooses to reveal them to us. Every Christian must know this truth, that our world is no longer just the physical and what we can see and touch, but what God reveals to us through the Holy Spirit and His Word. So as Jesus taught, do we have spiritual eyes now to see and spiritual ears to hear? Are we growing as Christ's disciples? Or are we just too busy with Christmas? Oh, my friends, it's not just about what is out there to see and hear, but who is working inside of us to see and hear. Are we allowing God to open our eyes at Christmas and throughout the year? I submit to you that none of us can see unless God reveals Himself to us, that none of us can hear unless God speaks to us. But is God under compulsion to reveal Himself to people who are too busy and will merely ignore Him? Now, most of us have seen the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, or we've read the book. And there is one scene where the ghost of Christmas past has just paid a visit to Ebenezer Scrooge. And clearly, the old miser is shaken by the entire ordeal. It's painful to him to have to review the mistakes he's made throughout his lifetime and up to that point. But suddenly, he awakens from his sleep, and he's in his own bedroom. And he tries to shake off the experience and the message that was revealed to him. And he angrily dismisses it, saying, "Bah, humbug, it wasn't real. It's just a bit of last night's undigested beef." And yet at last, when Ebenezer is shown his grave by the ghost of Christmas yet to come, he sees his name written on the headstone. The finger from the ghost pointed to the grave and then back to him and again. "No, spirit, no, no," he cried out. The finger still was there pointing. "Spirit," he cried, tight clutching his robe, "hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been." But then he asks something very profound. "Why show me this if I am past all hope? Why show me this if I am past all hope?" And then for the first time, the hand appeared to shake. "Good spirit," he pursued, as down on the ground he fell before it, "your nature intercedes for me and pities me. Assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life." Yes, Ebenezer was correct. Friends, God doesn't warn those who are beyond all hope. Perhaps God's pity is upon us all, but not all accept God's pity upon them. And yet those of us who have been warned have all hope, a living hope. For if our lives have been altered by Jesus Christ, then we have the living hope within us. So indeed, it took a while for Ebenezer to finally see. have his eyes opened. But finally, he recognized a divine message from God. To what do you and I tend to attribute the messages sent to us by God? To what do we attribute the painfully wrong decisions we've made in our lives? To what do we attribute the divine and miraculous scenes of God? I'm afraid that many people attribute these things to the simple common experiences of life, to undigested beef, not God knocking on our heart's door. Oh, I would like to brag, had I been there in Bethlehem, surely that night I would have seen that divine scene. But would I have understood it? Would I have seen clearly the nativity scene and what it meant? There is a way of knowing the answer to that question, by the way. I believe that you and I can know for certain how we would have reacted that night 2,000 years ago and what we would have understood. And that way to know it is simply this. What do I see and hear right now during Christmas? What do I see and hear right now? When I watch the news, do I see only strife and injustice? Or do I see sheep without a shepherd like Jesus saw? When I go out to do my shopping, do I see only hordes of people and long lines in the stores? Or did I notice a few of those people who were smiling and helping each other? Did I see the name of the store and their ad? Or did I see the bell ringer outside the store and the name of that volunteer asking for my contribution and give it to him? Do I see only candles and candy canes and poinsettias? Or do I see Jesus in my brother and sister in Christ? Do I see the homeless and the hungry, and do I help them, or do I turn away and rush to cross off another item on my list? I need to ask myself, what do I hear at Christmas? Do I notice the well wishes of Merry Christmas being spoken, and do I say Merry Christmas or just Happy Holidays to be safe? Do I hear Christmas music playing through the store sound systems and get excited about the emotion of Christmas? Or can I hear the muted sounds of the lonely and bereaved? And in the midst of the sounds of honking horns and people arguing over parking spaces and being first in line during a sale or during the checkout, can I still hear the faint echoes of laughter that comes from little children who know that God loves them and has a gift for them at Christmas? Brothers and sisters in Christ, what we see and what we hear is not dependent upon the event alone, but upon us and our hearts. I wonder what else God might be up to in my life, what he's up to in our world, if only I had the spiritual eyes to see it all. And yet if we can hear the cry from the lonely and the poor, we can see the sheep without a shepherd, then we might have had enough spiritual discernment to see and hear the events as they took place in Bethlehem on that night 2,000 years ago. And yes, I believe God would have called us to that nativity scene. And so with God's help, you and I can see the nativity scene even today. But without having spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear, I know that I would have missed all that happened on that first Christmas. Without God training my eyes and training my ears to respond, I would have been oblivious to it all. Perhaps God always reveals himself to those who will respond, but not necessarily does he always reveal himself to those who won't, to those who he knows will refuse. God came to a poor, humble Jewish maiden who accepted him, and later to her believing husband, to Elizabeth, and to Zacharias, who later believed himself after doubting initially. God came to lowly, smelly shepherds out in the fields, not to Caesar in Rome. God came to John even through the womb and later out in the wilderness. But he only came to a few religious leaders in the magnificent temple of Jerusalem. So it is my prayer for all of us that this Christmas and Christmastide, to see Jesus when the world cannot, to be willing to listen for his voice in our lives and to hear his word and not be caught up and trapped by the lusts of the world and turn a deaf ear. Perhaps one of our Christmas carols, O Little Town of Bethlehem, says it most accurately. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls shall receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. Can you see the nativity scene? To God be all the praise and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us, and we know that we can see all things through your revelation and your word and your Holy Spirit. But Lord, sometimes we're too busy to notice. Sometimes we've blocked off all communication with you through not reading your word, through not hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, forgive us. May we be there in spirit at the nativity scene of Jesus Christ, and that may we see it now, O Lord. May we see your nativity scene now with eyes that are opened by you, that we might respond to the needs of people around us, that we might see Christ living in them, that we might know that when we do it to the least of these, we have done it unto you, through Jesus Christ, who came for all. Amen.